Good morning. My name is Wally Howard, and I would like to thank you for this opportunity to share a portion of the story of God's grace and mercy shown to me, an unworthy sinner. I'm the son of Elton and Henrietta Howard and was born and raised here in Kalamazoo. When I was very young, my father's propensity for alcohol caused him to become a physical threat to my mother, my sister, and myself. After one violent incident, my parents separated and later were divorced. I was primarily raised by my mother, who struggled to provide for our small family. She was a committed believer and would often read the scriptures to my sister and me. We learned by example how to pray and trust God for our daily provisions. We attended church twice every Sunday. At church, I regularly heard the truth of the Almighty Creator God, the fall of mankind, and God's loving provision for sinners in the person of His Son, Jesus the Christ. At church, seeds were planted in my heart. In my later teens, I rebelled and walked away from a budding faith. I pursued the pleasures and attractions of the world. I found them to be but temporary satisfactions, and soon I bore the burden of my guilty conscience. Mistakenly, I had believed that Jesus was only a loving Redeemer who would freely forgive regardless of how bad my behavior became. This opinion is very wrong and will not be found in the Bible. Scriptures do teach that while indeed Jesus came to save those who put their trust in Him, they also say, John 5:22, He has been given the authority to judge by the Father. And in John 9:39, For judgment I came into this world. Jesus is not only a Redeemer, but also a judge. While deserving only condemnation and judgment, God graciously opened my eyes to see that it was my sin that separated me from Him. By my own actions, I bellied up to a hog trough, and I was yearning for what the pigs were eating. Hopeless and experienced a great dilemma, I sought out answers. In October of 1970, I was led into a lordship salvation by a godly man of faith, Pastor Clarence Venenz, at Canley Chapel on the campus of Western Michigan University. That was when I truly repented and was forgiven, and asked Jesus to sit and rule upon the throne of my life. Matthew 11:28, Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I have found my rest and peace in Jesus, my Lord and Savior. An insightful thought from Charles Spurgeon on this text: it is not to a doctrine, it is not to an ordinance, nor to a ministry that we first come, but we must first come with a personal trust to Jesus Himself to be our Savior. As I became increasingly aware of the Holy Spirit's leading, I purposed in my heart to continue to move ever towards Him and away from my remaining sin. This is a continuous and lifelong battle that can only be won with God's help, God's word, prayer, and the encouragement of fellow believers. In the 50 plus years of living a fixed In the 50 years of living a fixed submission to God, I've experienced many joys and celebrations. They include marriage to my supportive and loving wife, Barbara, the birth of 2 children and 4 grandchildren. Barbara and I have enjoyed friendship and fellowship of other believers. Recently, however, our family also experienced a great hardship and loss. Last May, our only son, Joseph, told us of having stage 4 cancer. After a relatively short battle, the Lord took him home to glory in August. His testimony remains a testimony he shared over 30 years while connecting his patients up for life-extending dialysis treatments. Isaiah 55:8-9, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, I came to discern and accept that our sovereign God seldom does things the way I would. Even while going through great suffering, I must place my faith and trust in him. And always remember, God's sovereign plan will always prevail. Shortly after marriage, Barb and I were steered into the church in which I grew up. Before the birth of our daughter, Janice, however, we came to understand that a believer's or confessor's baptism is what the Bible truly teaches. First, a conversion occurs, and it is followed later by an obedient act of baptism. About that time, we were invited to a startup church meeting at the YMCA, where we began to worship regularly. We were a part of the original membership of the Reformed Baptist Church of Kalamazoo, where we were baptized, worshiped, and served for some 17 years. After which time, we were led into worship and serve into a different part of Christ's body. Currently, we are trusting by God's providence that we are being led to return to some earlier roots. We have been regular attenders at RBC and have become reacquainted with fellow sojourners that we had previously known. Here we receive much support after the death of our son, and we find faithful preaching and teaching, the singing and worship most edifying. Indeed, there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. A favorite hymn stanzas. I hear the Savior say, thy strength is deed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And a favorite passage in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I am not saying this because I am in any need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be humbled. I know how to prosper. In each and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, or need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. In a larger application for Christ's church, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is no secret. Look around you and you will see God is at work. Barbara and I look forward to worship and serve together here as Christ builds and strengthens his kingdom among us. Thank you, and may God continue to bless.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Howard, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. I remember being young and attending church and hearing about God and Jesus, but never understood about a personal relationship with him. One night at my high school with my friend Lois, there was a Billy Graham film that we attended. The film Lucia presented a story of a woman searching for fulfillment and for meaning, and spoke of the needs and benefits of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. My heart was opened when at the end of the movie there was a message from Billy Graham and an invitation to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I now knew I was a sinner removed from God and needed to accept him to have a relationship with him. When I was 15, I invited Jesus into my life. I went forward and took my first steps of faith. John 17:3 says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. New to faith, I found a group of Christian friends and was encouraged by my mother to be with them often. My situation at home included an abusive and controlling father who felt I never needed to go with them or anywhere. When I was 19, my dear mother passed away suddenly. The death was unexpected and unknown until the papers reported it as a suicide. I now question God as to why he had taken her away when I needed her so much. Being a young Christian, I did not really know how to handle this and began distancing myself from God instead of running to him. A few weeks later, I met a young man while at college. After 2 years of I love yous and someday marriage, he dumped me and married instantly someone else. Now I was more broken, lonely, and doubting God even cared for me. I moved out on my own. I stopped attending church. Now my rebellion included living a life of sinful worldly ways. I heard the warnings of the Holy Spirit. I knew God was near, but ignored him until he gave me a pastor at college that saw my sadness and my brokenness, and he counseled me. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I learned that when I delight in God, that everything about him is the answer for my longings. A few months later, I met my husband, Wally. God blessed me with him. We've been together for 52 years. We've had two wonderful children. He gave me a teaching job, and he gave me a church again. We were quite involved in a church, but doubting the teaching of baptism there. Some dear friends that had already left the church invited us to come to a new church, just starting with four families. We visited RBC and stayed and found growth in our walk, raising our children, baptized as a believer, and we were there for 17 years. God has used us in two other churches as we continued our walk with the Lord. Retiring from teaching private piano lessons at 50, God blessed me with an opportunity to own and operate a business. Ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to run a clothing boutique. I was able to do this with my daughter Janice at my side. We were able to use this business to often witness to our customers of God's love and to help our community with clothing. I had this business for 15 years and always knew that God would guide me as to when to stop and guide me as to whether I should sell it or close it. When the time came, I closed the business. A few months after closing, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It was a blessing now to be able to help and care for him, but cancer is hard, and recovery is sometimes doubtful. I was tired, I felt ignored, I was lonely, and again felt God did not care. Instead of running again to God, I ran from him and started letting the world rule in my life. I found it easy to just go through motions, sometimes struggling to come back to God, but most of the time not caring. I had to ask God for forgiveness for my rebellion and doubt. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I had a church I loved, and Christian friends that I loved, and a Bible study, and it kept me from falling away completely. In the last year, the church closed and we went searching for a new church fellowship. We came back to RBC to visit about the time our dear son Joe was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in all his major organs and passed away 2 months later. I know Joe is in heaven. He has left us his testimony of his belief in God and his love of Jesus. During this time at RBC, I have found love and caring and grounded teaching and asked God to hold me close and draw me back to him and not let me again question and distance myself. My God heard and continues to hold me close. Actually, since I was 15, on the night I gave my heart to Jesus, he has held me close. He has never turned away. My life verses are Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." And Isaiah 40:31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And one of my favorite hymn stanzas is, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well with my soul." Through my rebellion, my sin, my complacency and doubts, and distancing from God, I have experienced repentance, forgiveness, trust, and learned that my God is sovereign. And I would like to end with this. While praying one day, a girl asked, "Who are you, God?" He answered, "I am." "But who is I am?" she asked, and he replied, "I am love. I am grace. I am joy. I am strength. I am safety. I am shelter. I am power. I am creator. I am the comforter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the light. With tears in her eyes, she looked toward heaven and said, now I understand, but who am I? He tenderly wiped the tears from her eyes and whispered, you are mine. My name is Barbara. I am a child of God, and I love Jesus.
Hello, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Brett Taplin. Thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. I've grown up in a Christian home with my parents and four siblings. When I was young, I remember always picking on my siblings, getting in trouble, and getting punished. When I was about five, my dad was painting our porch. I asked him how I could become a Christian, and I prayed for forgiveness for my sins, and that's when I became a Christian. God saved me through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again for my sins. Nothing changed right away, though. I still picked on my siblings, and I remember it was very hard asking for God's forgiveness. But my parents continued to counsel me each time I would mess up, and God grew my faith little by little. When I was about 13, I really wanted to get baptized, but I couldn't get over the fact that I'd have to come up and talk in front of a bunch of people. Although I didn't get baptized then, God used this time to help me understand more of his word and drew me closer to him. God helped me realize that I need him in everything I do. As I've grown, God has shown me what a privilege it is to be part of a Christian home, and I see how blessed I am to be going to RBC, where I have Christian friends to comfort and grow me in my walk with Christ. So here I am, not only because I'm commanded to get baptized, but I want all of you to know that God has saved me, and I am his, and he is mine. And I can never be snatched from his hands. I'm so excited to continue to grow in my faith with all of you, helping me along the way. Before I go, I have a couple verses I'd like to share. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And 1 Corinthians 6:11, which says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Thank you.
Hi. So a year ago, I would have said I knew most everyone at RBC, but it really has grown so much since then. So to introduce myself to those of you who don't or who haven't met me yet, my name is Haley Taplin. And I would like to thank you for sharing your time with me this morning and to say I'm so excited to be baptized in front of you all. So to start from the very beginning, I grew up in church, was taught the gospel, that Jesus paid the price for my sins by dying on the cross and that he rose again. I was surrounded by loving Christian people, families from our old church, families from RBC, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and especially my own parents. But as young people tend to do, I still constantly argued with siblings and let my thoughts and emotions have free rein. They'd often get me sent to the office for a talking to. One of these times, my mom pulled me in and we talked about my attitude and my actions, how I hadn't been showing Christ's love through them. And she then asked me if I was saved and I'd said no. That day, my mom prayed with me as I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to be my savior. And every day since then, I have been a perfect Christian. I really wish I could say that, but that's not even close. I am still learning that there is no one perfect follower of Christ and that I don't have to try to be perfect in my faith in the way of knowing the Bible inside and out and being able to answer every hard question. I need only live in a way that is glorifying to him and to trust him with my every need. To backtrack just a little, I don't know exactly how old I was when I gave my life to Jesus, but my guess would be somewhere between 10 and 12 years old. I have struggled a lot since then with feeling like I was just going through the motions, struggled with friendships, and with knowing if I was truly saved or not. The worst of these, though, is I struggle with letting God have complete control over my life. As I finished high school and as I graduated, I got asked this question a lot. which I'm sure you're all very familiar with. So what are your plans? Are you going to college? And that question always got me down because I didn't have an answer, or a good one at least. I just wanted to have my own family one day, and I didn't want to go back to school because I didn't know what I wanted to do. My plans were, well, there were no plans. I was just at a point where I was done with this one thing and I didn't know where I was going next. But God knew what my plans were. It says here in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So while I never went to college for anything, God has been showing me ways to grow. In my faith, in my relationships, He has given me friends who continually show me Christ's love and how I can be better serving Him. One of my favorite verses is Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God was with me then, as I was anxious and had no clue as to where my life was headed. He is with me now as I learn to trust Him more daily. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
For those of you who don't know me, I am Morgan Zager, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to share my testimony with all of you this morning. And I'm so thankful that my family was able to be here today. As a child, I grew up in a Catholic household where I learned about Jesus and who He was. Catholicism had always been a part of my family history, so that was how my parents raised me. Around middle school, I went to Miracle Camp for the first time. My mom asked me if I wanted to spend a week at camp, and I excitedly said yes. That week there opened my eyes to the fact that Jesus took the penalty for my sin and died on the cross so that I would not have to spend eternity separated from God. I heard the gospel, yet I still continued to live a life of sin, and I was enslaved to it. I made poor choices and did not realize the true impact it had on my life. I had many realizations of my sin, but never truly accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I would do Christian things, like read my Bible occasionally and pray occasionally, and I would even say that I was a Christian, but truly, there was no heart change. I lived in denial about this for a long time. I would wonder why I lived in contemplation about if I was truly saved for years. I would spend a week or two at Miracle Camp, feel the weight of my sin, yet nothing would truly change. I was constantly doing things for God, not doing life with God. I was focused on a works-based salvation, which was completely reliant on my works, when I truly needed to be focused on Jesus' work on the cross. Believing and trusting in Him is the only way to escape eternal separation from God. In January 2022, I started attending RBC, hearing every message and truly pondering my lack of faith. I would wonder more and more often if I was truly saved, and I would spend times at night lying in my bed, worrying for the salvation, for my salvation, and for the salvation of others around me. Anxiety started to drown me. Some days I would be anxious about the smallest things, like why is this person mad at me? What did I do wrong? How can I make them like me? This took me down a deep, deep path of people-pleasing that I found to be an escape from anxiety. Even though I was not a true believer, I still clung to the words in 1 Peter, "Casting all your cares on Him because He cares about you." Around this past summer, I started making more friends and becoming immersed in deep, thought-provoking conversations with many different people. The Lord so graciously saved me around August this past year. I was not aware of the sin I was enslaved to and how far I had truly gotten away from God. God opened my heart to see the sinner that I was and how badly I needed a Savior. I now know that I am a child of God. I'm doing life with God. He guides my steps and helps me through every second of every day. I want to use every day to try and glorify him the best that I can. I truly feel a desire to follow the Lord and to trust in his plans for me. That desire could only be given to me by him. He started a fire within me that will not go out no matter how many trials I go through. I'm constantly reminded of the verses James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that let that endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance, endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God used many people around me throughout this past year to bring me to the point where I am now, and I am so grateful for the way that he has changed me. I can fully rest in the fact that the Lord has a plan for me and my future. In that, I would like to close with a verse that I hold deeply in my heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11.
Hello. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Minte Vanderhart. One of my favorite Bible passages is Acts 8, 27 and 28. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And then in verse 36, what prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This scripture shows the most basic faith. I was born in Demboya, southwest of Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. Both of my parents were Christians. I went to a care center after my mom died, and I was adopted into the Vanderhart family in 2010 when I was almost two. I don't remember an exact time I decided to be a Christian. I remember always believing that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I look forward to living for Jesus further in this church. In Jude 1, 24 through 25, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be majesty, dominion, authority, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen."
Hello, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Abigail Boss. I was born and raised in a Christian home. I'm very thankful that all my family love and serve the Lord. One night in October of last year, I was praying and my mind shifted. And I started to think about how scary hell really was. Troubled, I went to my brother Levi's room. I talked to him about my troubles and I told him that I was scared and I didn't want to go there. Then Levi told me that God loves me and that as long as I believe in Jesus, I won't have to worry about hell. He told me that even if you believe, you will still sin, but God will always forgive you, and that even if you sin, you will still go to heaven if you believe. I told him that I really wanted to follow Jesus for the rest of my life and that I love him more than anything. Then we started to talk about baptism. I told him that I felt like I should be baptized, but I was unsure. Then he told me that that's how he felt, but that if you really want to follow him and show it publicly, then you can be baptized. Then I knew that I wanted to be baptized and show it to the church. Levi prayed with me, then gave me some verses to read he thought would help me. In the morning, Mom came and woke me up. I told Mom that I wanted to be baptized and that I really love Jesus and that I want to live a life that is pleasing to him. My mom was very happy for me. After we talked, I prayed with Mom, asking him to forgive my sins and to be Lord of my life. Then I told Dad. I am being baptized today because I am grateful that God sent his perfect Son to die on the cross for my sins. I want to live a life that is pleasing to him, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. My favorite chapter in the Bible is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Behold, who keeps Israel will... Oh, wait. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This passage is comforting to me because it helps me know that the Lord is always with me and he never stops watching over me. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
For those who don't know me, my name is Jada Steele, and I am 10 years old. I'm excited to tell you today how I was saved. I was born in a Christian home, and I have always been taught the Bible and that it is true. I always believed in Jesus, but didn't have him as mine. I used to be pretty selfish when I was younger. I didn't care about anything or even anyone else. And my parents have told me that I would try to hide my sins from them. Last summer, I went to a vacation Bible school, and something was telling me I should go to the counseling room. I had never thought about needing to have Jesus as my king. I guess I had thought growing up in a Christian home meant I was already a Christian. After hearing some stories about people who grew up in Christian homes walking away from Jesus, then I realized I wasn't actually saved. So there at VBS, I had someone help me understand what it means to get saved. So I repented of my sins and trusted that Jesus is my Savior and my King. He has saved me, and I follow and obey him. I felt different. I felt happy mixed with an unexplainable joy, and it felt good. Since coming to know Jesus for myself, I started reading farther in my Bible and have grown in my understanding of what it means. It isn't just rules like some people say it is. The whole thing is about Jesus. He is the main story. Now I know that I am a sinner and that I don't deserve to be saved. But Jesus had mercy and came to the world to suffer on the cross and die in my place and get buried for me, then rise again. Now he is changing me to become more like him. I look out for others, I care about others, and I try to be kind to everyone. It reminds me of 1 John 4, verses 19. It says, "We love because he first loved us." I can read this and remember why I'm loving, because he first loved me. Thank you for this opportunity to share what God has done for me.
Hello, my name is Daryl Gent. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony with you. Emma and I are both in the math PhD program at Western Michigan. We started coming to RBC shortly after coming to the area for school. It was the first church we tried, and the only church, because we liked it so much, we decided to stay. So I grew up in a Christian family. We went to church every Sunday and Wednesday. I remember praying several times to get saved, multiple times since I felt like I was never saved. The one major time I remember was when I was 12. I had talked with my pastor, and he asked me if I understood that I was a sinner and if I believed that Jesus could save me from my sin, both of which I answered with yes before we prayed together. However, I still struggled with sin through my growing up years. This led me to doubt the assurance of my salvation. However, God was working on me the whole time, but I would go on pendulum swings between sin and sanctification. Through the midst of this, I started poring through the Bible, and one passage that really stuck out to me was Romans 7, 21 to 25. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul felt the same way that I do, torn between two different forces, torn between fleshly desires and the sanctification of the Spirit. I now realize that my internal struggle resulted from the Spirit working in me. An unbeliever is not tormented over sin as much as I. I started to get interested in philosophy and theology. This gave me a head knowledge of the things of God as I fought to figure out what I believed. However, I rarely felt many emotions with this besides shame and guilt for my sin. But more recently, I have begun noticing that I crave a more intimate relationship with the Lord instead of just one rooted in intellectual pursuits. Looking back on the reality of my salvation, looking back on the fact that God predestined me, a wretched sinner, to participate in eternal communion with the Godhead through the ultimate sacrifice of his Son, still blows my mind. I can see that the Spirit is working in my life, conforming me to the image of Christ, and I am so thankful that Jesus' sacrifice covers my sins, enabling me to be in relationship with him. I am so thankful that the Spirit is molding the desires of my heart to be more like Christ. I still occasionally struggle with assurance of salvation, however, I struggle less and less. Since I've learned that it is a reality and assurance is not a feeling, I long for the day when my faith becomes sight and assurance is wholly mine. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Emma Gent. I messed that up a couple times. We've only been married for 2 weeks. thanks. My now husband, Daryl, and I moved up to Kalamazoo for grad school this last August after graduating from Cedarville. I had been really nervous about being able to find a good church up here, but God graciously answered our prayers by leading us here to RBC. You guys have been such a blessing to both Daryl and myself. A bit about me, I was raised in a Christian home. I have always had a steady Christian influence in my life. Because both of my parents were children of pastors, and my dad is a pastor, my six siblings and I often joked that we were PTKs. However, this Christian lineage is a blessing. My parents would always emphasize that my relationship with God rests not on what they believe, but whether or not I personally accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I first understood this fact when I was about 6 years old. We were eating outside that day. I don't remember why that was important, but it's very vivid. We were eating lunch outside, and my older siblings were discussing their own salvation with my mom. Curious, I asked something along the lines of what was so important about getting saved. And I don't know exactly what my mom said to me, but she did explain the gospel, so it would have been something like this. God is holy and just. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, humans were separated from God because all humans sin. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And also Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. However, since our sovereign God had a plan in store for us, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think you guys know where that one came from. As I get older, this fact that God could love us so much, that Jesus became a man, bore the wrath of God on the cross and rose again 3 days later so that he could propitiate the consequences of my sin, continues to astonish me more and more. My mom helped me understand and pray through Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And while I believe I was saved at this point, I also recognize that I was 6 and did not fully understand what salvation entailed. An instance of that is I remember crying in my dad's lap later that evening after a punishment for sinning. Knowing me, it was probably giving my sibling a dirty look. While he explained to me that we continually have to die to our old selves and live for Jesus. And this really crushed me because I thought that after you got saved, you were perfect because mom and dad were saved. Mom and dad were perfect. Proof by example. It was not true. And so because of that, in my dad's wisdom, he made me wait to get baptized until I was 10 years old and understood my salvation better and no longer referred to communion as adult snacks in church. Through the years, I have learned that nothing is more important than a strong relationship with my Heavenly Father. To help me learn dependence on him, God graciously allowed me to go through some trials where I learned the power of reading the Bible and the freedom which ensues from praying for his will and not my own, a lesson I am sure I will learn many, many times in the future. Also, as a side note, I learned that when you ask God to kill your pride, really be prepared because he will answer you. It was a painful week. I am very thankful for the patient people God has put in my life to push me in my sanctification, which has now expanded to include this church body. I'm excited to grow with you all as we build each other up in faith. And to that end, I will finish by sharing one of my favorite passages from 1 Peter 5:10-11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.